John Harbison's new opera, The Great Gatsby, based on the novel by F. Scott Fitzgerald, had its world premiere at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York this week. Classical music critic Lloyd Schwartz is a great admirer of Harbison's music and Fitzgerald's writing. So, of course, he was at the Met for the opening. Here's his review.
F. Scott Fitzgerald's 1925 novel of the Jazz Age had only a small cult following among writers, until it was, as the composer John Harbison says, rescued from the literary junk heap. Thanks in large part to the enthusiasm of Edmund Wilson in the 1950s, Gatsby is now generally considered one of the greatest American novels of the 20th century. By some people, the greatest. It tells one of the archetypal American stories. The hero of obscure origins who makes a shady fortune and gives his life, at the end quite literally, to his pursuit of an ideal that finally can't help but betray him. It's also a story about the confrontation between the moral Midwest and the moneyed East of New York and Long Island, the tyranny of beauty, and the brutality of the upper classes. But if The Great Gatsby is a masterpiece, it's because it has some of the century's most dazzling writing, racing nonstop in under 200 pages from one breathtaking image to the next. The lights grow brighter as the earth lurches away from the sun, writes Fitzgerald's narrator and alter ego Nick Carraway in a famous passage about one of Jay Gatsby's lavish parties. Now the orchestra is playing yellow cocktail music, and the opera of voices pitches a key higher. There are certainly operatic elements in this book, with its prose arias, its tone of yearning and heated melodrama. In his new opera, John Harbison succeeds in capturing a lot of that blend. His most fruitful idea is to mix the idioms of opera and pop music. Opening night at the Met, people around me audibly relaxed as the music in the overture moved from the chromatic, almost discordant angst of operatic yearning into a suddenly flippant foxtrot. Harbison's whole score is punctuated with 20 style songs and dance tunes, tangos and charlestons and foxtrots, played at parties or sung through a megaphone or over the radio. The lyrics by Murray Horwitz, who is the originator of Broadway's Ain't Misbehavin', mirror the emotional situations of the main characters, like the production numbers in Stephen Sondheim's Follies. And Harbison's melodies are infectious. People were walking up the aisles humming the tunes. This might be the first opera with hit songs rather than famous arias, though there are also exquisite lyrical passages in the modern classical mode. Stage director Mark Lammas, though, doesn't make enough of this brilliant musical juxtaposition, or of any of the opera's other dramatic confrontations. So this first production remains frustratingly static, despite James Levine's conducting, the scintillating playing by the amazing Met Orchestra, and some strong performances by Susan Graham as the golf pro Jordan Baker, heroic tenor Mark Baker as Daisy Buchanan's wealthy, narrow-minded, and hulking husband, Tom. I hate that word, hulking, he sings. And the stunning Lorraine Hunt Lieberson in her overdue Metropolitan Opera debut as Tom's earthy and doomed mistress, Myrtle Wilson. soprano Dawn Upshaw and tenor Jerry Hadley are less successful as Daisy and Gatsby. Occasionally, Harbison resorts to some pretty dated exposition to turn the novel's narrative into stage action. But some of the most awkward dramaturgy has some of his most beautiful music. You can hear the opera for yourself on New Year's Day, when the Saturday matinee will be broadcast live from the Met. Until it gets the production it deserves, John Harbison's noble collision with Fitzgerald's masterpiece may actually work better on the radio than in the opera house.
Lord Schwartz is classical music editor of the Boston Phoenix. The Great Gatsby is at the Met through January 15th.